We were still on maneuver when a dispatch arrived around midday to inform our commander that a convoy of the enemy was to travel by rail from Kenmare to Killarney. The train was due to reach Hetford Junction at 3:15, and so here was just the opportunity that he had been looking for. He decided to attack. The column were immediately recalled. He estimated that he had about 1.5 hours before the train's arrival. We set off immediately on a forced march and arrived some time before 3 o'clock. The commander, with Tommy McAllister and a few others, went into the station to reconnoitre the position and decided that they had about 20 to 30 minutes to plan the method of the attack. Then came the first unknown factor. The signalman informed them that the train was due to the station 15 minutes before schedule and would arrive in a matter of minutes. The column was quickly alerted and positions hurriedly taken. The main section was posted on the embankment running along from the signal cabin and overlooking the main platform under the joint command of Johnny Connor and Jack Ronan. A second smaller section under the command of Tommy McAllister manned the station master's residence to control the back or Kenmare side of the platform. Unfortunately, another section did not come into the operation due to the hurried, faulty, last-minute arrangements. Danny Allman, Jim Coffey, Danny Healy, Scott Dean, and I were still on the main platform, pushing some railway wagons out of the way as he, Danny, considered that they interfered with a field of fire. We were still at this work when we saw the train coming in. Danny ordered Scott Dean and I to the ramp at the side of the goods store, immediately in front of where the engine was due to stop. Allman, Coffey and Healy took position in the gents' toilet on the main platform, as they hadn't time to make the embankment before the train pulled in. Within a minute, a single shot rang out. Danny Allman attempted to disarm a soldier who arrived in the lavatory. He resisted and was shot. Immediately, fire was opened on the enemy, and a great number were casualties, especially on the open sandbagged wagon on which they had a machine gun. The officer in command was killed at this stage. The soldiers who were in the carriages attempted to come out at the back of the train, and it was then that Tom Mack's section with Scott Dean and I came in to the action. A few survivors from the main platform, four with their sergeant, a Scotchman, dropped down between the carriages and crawled underneath the train. Scott Dean and I took them on as we were also at ground level. Periodically, we shouted at them to surrender. without result. Danny Allman, Jim Coffey, and Danny Healy came to the back of the train to try and dislodge them. It was then that Danny was killed, shot through the heart. Jim Bailey was killed prior to this on the embankment. Well now, except for an isolated shot from the party of the enemy underneath the carriages, the fight was over. I should say we were in action about an hour. Next, we heard the whistle of a train on the main Cork-Killarney line. And Scatine and I left our position in the station for the main road outside. And not a minute too soon, as there was another strong convoy of the enemy on that train. The train had halted about 100 yards from the station as the signals were against its entry. Included in this train was also a sandbagged wagon with a machine gun crew. Scatine and I took the man, and in a short while, our position became untenable, especially when we realized that our ammunition was almost exhausted. We removed ourselves quickly in the hope that we would live to fight another day. In our retreat, I remember going through a whitethorn hedge, but this was only a minor detail. Some minutes later, I found myself with only one gaiter. How I lost that other gaiter, I don't know. A condition that made me feel very self-conscious. It actually made me feel half naked. We were then joined by Jim Coffey and Danny Healy. They had left Danny Allman in the station. And needless to say, we were heartbroken when we heard the news of his death. Later, we overtook Tommy McAllister and his section. And the enemy reinforcements were pressing us hard at this stage. However, thank God, we extricated ourselves without casualty from the immediate area and travelled fast over the mountain and over the main Killarney Road at Glenflesk and on to Kilgarvan, where we lodged in the house of the now famous American Labour leader, McQuill, and we got a royal welcome. That night later, Jack Cronin and his section arrived, and it was then we heard the news of Jim Bailey's death. The following morning, my most urgent need was to get someone to supply the missing gaiter. On inquiry, I was told that the only draper in the village, a Mr. Maybury, was the only one who could supply that gaiter. And needless to say, Scatine, my pal, and I called on Mr. Maybury very early. And to our disappointment, he told us that he hadn't any gaiters in stock. The poor fellow was a Protestant and considered hostile by the local IRA. And very, very disappointed, we made our troubles known to one of the local IRA, and he said he probably had the gaiters and wouldn't supply us. On the strength of this, We return to his shop once again. No. We demanded the gator. And again were refused. But this time, we issued an ultimatum. And poor Mr. Mabry, we intended searching his shop and threatened him with the gravest of penalties should we find the gators in the house later. And this time we certainly meant business, and he realized it. Well, apologetically, he produced a set of gators before the search, for which I paid him the princely sum of 15 shillings, all I had in the world at the time. I expect the poor fellow believed that we wouldn't pay him for the gators, and this was the reason that he refused us, and not from any national feelings. At any rate, he made me a very happy man, as I no longer felt half naked. And now, before I finish my story of the fight at Hitford, I feel bound, as one soldier to another, to pay a just tribute to the bravery of the men who fought us on that day. And I pray that the good God may be merciful to all who fell in that